Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3. It is a joy to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate you being here. This is family month and for our church, and we try to preach every Sunday morning if the Lord lead us on the family. I'm going to do that in a roundabout way, but I want to be obedient to the Lord. And the Lord just put the watchman on my heart, and I just cannot get it off. And I tried my best to do something that I wanted to go to Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we just may go there and go back and forth and just, you know, I got to 2 o'clock, so I mean, amen. All right, I'm just joking. Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3. Well, amen. It is good to see you in the house, Lord. But I do want to be obedient to the Lord, and I just could not get my mind off of that watchman. And I'll be honest with you, our homes, if there's anything I can help you home with, I believe I'm going to help you today. There's some things we need to watch for. Amen. And so I believe the Lord will help us. It may not seem like it's the way that I thought it would be this morning. I mean, I've got several messages I preach on the home. I got a series of messages I preach on the home. You know, the making of a home, the money of the home, the mother of the home. There's a bunch of them. But the Lord is not leading that way this right now, so you just pray that the Lord will help us to be obedient to His Spirit. I'd rather have His insight than to have my insight. Amen. Amen. But it is good to see you here, and I do appreciate you being here. We come to the book of Ezekiel, and of course, Ezekiel, with divine authority, Ezekiel begins to dispel illusions, denounce the false prophets. He begins to declare repentance, restoration, and renewal. And one man mentioned this about Ezekiel, said he was a true shepherd of the soul. And with that in mind, him being a true shepherd of the soul, God gave him this thought about the watchman. Look at chapter number 3 and verses number 15. Chapter 3 and verse number 15. Then I came to them of the captivity of Telabil that dwell by the river of Kabar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for saving us, and thank you for allowing the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. God, now we need you as we've never needed you before. God, we're living, Father, we know in the last days. God, Father, we live in the days where people don't want to hear the truth. And God, Father, people despise the truth. And God, I pray now that you'll help us, God, to be that which you'd have us to be. May this morning I be the watchman you'd have me to be. I pray, Father, now you'll touch our hearts and touch our lives. And God, I pray that you'll anoint, Father, as I stand, you'll anoint me and you'll fill me. And Father, you'll speak through me. Guard my lips and guard my mind. Help me not to think anything I need not to think, and not to say anything that I need not to say. God, help me to preach what thus saith the word of the Lord. Help me, Father, to be obedient to you. And God, I pray that you'll touch some heart here this morning. Father, there could be somebody here lost, not saved. I pray you'll save them before it's eternally too late. God, I pray, Father, we would look at our lives and we would examine ourselves and we would take inventory in our own life. That, Father, we would be that we need to be for you. Help Philadelphia Baptist Church to be a light on the hill. Help it to be a place where men and women, boys and girls can come get birthed in the family of God. Help us, we pray. We do pray for our nation, pray for our president. We pray for those in Texas that are suffering all kinds of trouble and with the storm. I pray, God, you'll touch them. I pray the gospel will get to them during this time. You'll get some of their attention. And Father, people can be saved through this tragedy. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. We come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3. And he said, I have made thee a watchman. You know, that really there's a shocking statement in here, not that he's just made him a watchman, but also that if the watchman don't do his job, that there could be blood upon the hands of the watchman. So with that in mind, I wonder, what is a watchman? What could we say a watchman? Well, I think a watchman is somebody, it's going to be very simple this morning, a watchman is somebody that watches. I might need to say it again. I think it went over some of y'all's head. A watchman is somebody that watches. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at it, we're watching. And so we may look at some things that we are to watch for in just a minute. And then he is someone that warns. He's someone that, I believe a watchman is somebody that cares. Right. Amen. A watchman is also someone that sounds the warning. He blows the trumpet and let people know that something's going on. And then a watchman, he's somebody that stays on the wall. You know, if you're going to be a watchman, you have to be in your position. You have to be in your place. You have to be that God would have you to be. You know, people outside the walls, they don't want to hear about the watchman. This, the people inside the walls is the one that cares about the watchman being on the wall, warning them of the things coming. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the world don't want to hear any kind of warnings. Amen. You know, I mean, some today, they care enough. They care not a thing about anything that's godly whatsoever. I don't know if you noticed it. I know you have. And I'm not just being just funny. But we're in a battle in America today. And today is a day of prayer that our president, as a matter of fact, we will end our service in prayer today. Because today has been set aside as a day of prayer for those in Texas. And I want to say thank the Lord that he signed something. Amen. Thank the Lord that the Lord was mentioned and thought of during this tragedy and this hurricane. And so I praise the Lord for that. But this world don't want anything to do with that. Matter of fact, it was just recently in one of our one of the bushes, I forget where it was, that they tried their best to keep him from putting his hand on the Bible. They tried to get that where he wouldn't do that. And then we realized that the Jesus Christ and the people praying in public, they don't want them to use the name of Jesus Christ, praying in the name of Jesus. It's all right to pray to gods because everybody's got a God. But when you define, you're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ, you define what God you're praying to, the only true and living God. There's a cry from this lost world that's raising every day, and it's getting louder, and that is the fruit. There's a war going on. Matter of fact, I believe, and again, I'm not trying to be political this morning. I'll say this, and I'll go on. But I believe one of the reasons that the media and people are so against Trump is because, really, this thing of God's been brought back in. Amen. Amen. I really believe that's one reason they're so mad. As I said Wednesday night, I was watching just a second of news. I hardly ever watch the news, but I was watching just a second of it. I just sat down and it was on, and I was watching a little piece. No, it wasn't. It was on one of the media things on the internet, and I seen it there. And they were speaking, and somebody spoke and spoke for a few minutes. And I mean, he just mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ several times. And then our vice president got up and he mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, praise God, amen. Thank God. But there's a battle. There's a war going on. And we realize there's a spiritual warfare going on. And this world, the lost world, hey, they hate the law of God. They hate God's law. I mean, they despise the Ten Commandments and want to do away with it. They despise the things of God. They want to call that which is wrong, right, and that which is right, wrong. Amen. And, I mean, we're seeing a battlefield. I mean, hey, watchmen, we need some watchmen. Amen. I'll get to my point in a second, but we see all these things going on. They're trying to do away with morality, and they're trying to do away with biblical teachings and Christianity and the cross and all these things. And I believe we need some watchmen. Well, first of all, I want to say I believe I'm a watchman. I believe I'm a watchman for Philadelphia Baptist Church. Yeah. Now, people don't like watchmen. Sometimes they don't. Amen. You know. The watchman, what does he do? He warns. You know. He said, you realize that the watchman, the most dangerous time of the watchman's life is in the darkness. Because he can't see the enemy as well. During the day, He can see that enemy is more, sometimes they still can sneak up, but he can. They're more of able to be seen. But during the darkness, he has to really listen, has to be really alert. And I just want to say to y'all, spiritually speaking, in this society that you and I are living in, this church age that we're living in, this day of grace, the dispensation of grace that we live in, I'm telling you what, there's darkness all around us. And we need a watchman. You need to pray for the watchman that God's put over. You need a watchman that can hear. A watchman that is attentive to what's going on around. Amen. We as a watchman, you know what the watchman's to do? Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions. And the house of Jacob their sins. Amen. Well, it's getting quieter, but it's okay. Joel 2:1 says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to realize we need somebody to blow a trumpet. We need somebody to take a stand, somebody to stand up and cry aloud. You need a watchman.
Amen.
We need a watchman in the church. And God has given me that privilege to be a watchman. Amen. But you know what? I think you're a watchman. Moms, you're a watchman. Dads, you're a watchman. Somebody's got to watch for the family. Amen. Somebody's got to watch out for the kids. Amen. And you are a watchman. You need to realize that God has purposed you and put you in a place to be a watchman. Hey, deacons, you're a watchman. Teachers, church members, you're a watchman. Amen. We can all be considered. All God's children are watchmen. We need to realize that the things that are going on around us, and I believe us as Christians, we've been silent too long.
Amen.
And so just for a moment, and I know this is not going to be my usual way of preaching, but I still agree. I believe I've tried to follow the leadership of the Lord. As we give warnings as a watchman, there's some things that I believe that the church is facing that we need to be warned about in these days that we live in. There's some things that the home is facing that we need to be warned about. There's some things that our young people are facing that they need to be warned about. I begin to think about what could be the things that would be infiltrating or troubling or causing the church not to be successful and calling Philadelphia Baptist Church not to be successful, not be being what we would need to be. We need to be the church that God wants us to be. And guess what? He will empower us to be that. He will give us the people we need. He will give us the finances we need. He will give us the faith that we need if we believe. But I believe one thing that is harming the church today, and I'm not going to preach to other churches because you're here, I'm here, and let's just really take the covers off and let's examine ourselves and inspect ourselves. But I believe a diluted faith is troubling the church today. Our faith is weak.
Amen.
We've watered down our faith, amen? Do you realize William Booth said many years ago, and I didn't have the date when he said this, but he said this. He was always William Booth with the Salvation Army, and of course we wouldn't agree with everything there, but he said this, he was always witty in giving little statements to the press, and they always was asking him things, and he would respond back, and he was always noted for saying some great things when he would reply back to the press. And they asked him something one day, and this is his answer. He said, in answer to your inquiry, I consider that the chief danger which confronts the coming century will be. So he's saying what will come in the years to come, what will be the things that will be the chief thing that will be dangerous. Notice what he said. I want to read it to you. I'm quote, religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, politicians without God, heaven without hell. He got it.
Amen.
Author Danton, your sweet, said, hey, that is a prophecy of where America's churches are today.
Amen.
Amen. Our faith has been diluted. Our faith in God and our faith in the things of God has went away. Hey, we need a watchman to cry and once again say, hey, we can have faith in God.
Amen.
Hey, we still can believe it. Hey, our God's not dead. He's alive. And He's well. You know, preacher, I've had some trials and troubles and storms. Yeah, I know. Guess what? They come to all people. But that does not mean that God's dead. Hey, God's still on the throne. Everything's still in plan. Everything's still going on course just like He wants it to be. Hey, one day you and I are checking out of here. We're going to heaven, amen. I'm saying everything's fine on the other side. We're still on the winning side, amen. Hey, we need to have faith. We need to act like it. We need to believe like it. We need to conduct ourselves like it. You know, it's so sad that church, we mentioned about our missions, and thank God for churches desiring to get the gospel out. I think that's a wonderful thing, don't you? Matter of fact, I think that's a great commission of the church. I think that's one reason we're here, to get the gospel out. We're here, our main reason is to get souls saved. Amen.
Amen.
And so, but when we don't have the faith, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to do the will of God. Without faith, it's impossible to walk with God like we should. I tell you, our faith has been diluted in these days. We don't have the faith that we used to have. Hey, if we had faith, the Bible talks, is just a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Amen. Peter walked on the water, and God said he had little faith. I wonder what kind of faith we got. Amen. I'm not. You ain't going to see me jump out of a boat and start walking real fast. Amen. What kind of faith we got, spiritually speaking? Diluted faith. Then I believe there's another thing that's facing the church, and I'll have to be quick. I believe another thing that's facing the church is biblical ignorance.
Yes,
I heard one preacher say this years ago, an evangelist say it. He was an old man at this time. He said, one day you won't be able to preach a sermon without teaching Sunday school first. Barnum, George and Barnum, that does all those surveys and everything, he done a survey in 2010 on the holiday that we call Easter. What people call Easter. We call it what? Resurrection Sunday. You know what he found out? He found out that in society, there was not, in society, he found out in our day that the minority of the adults associated Easter with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A minority of adults associated Easter with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I can vouch for that because the church houses are not full on resurrection Sunday. They used to pack all out. Amen. They used to have to put out chairs on Easter Sunday. People come. Oh, no more. Why? They don't associate it with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, our young people, this morning, we didn't have enough youth in we didn't have enough young people in our Sunday school classes. There's young people all over this county. All over this county. And I mean, we need to be reaching out to them. I mean, we shouldn't be running two bands, we should be running five bands. And we're just gonna have fun, amen. We should be filling up bands. Amen. We should be striving to get young people because what they're not going to church. Mom and daddy's not going to church.
Right. Yeah.
And young people, they need, if they don't get those fundamental Sunday school hours, and it's sad, the people here in the church, sometimes you don't bring your kids to Sunday school.
Yeah.
We're having fun now, amen.
Come on.
You know, I'm telling you, you will not know how many young people that because of things they was taught in Sunday school, they come to the faith at a young age, the Lord Jesus Christ, what it will keep them from coming in their life as they grow to be adults just because of some faithful Sunday school teacher taught them something.
Amen.
Thank God for our Sunday school teachers. Thank God for those that teach the Word of God. Thank God for those. I mean, you ladies that teach in the Sunday school class, you think, man, they ain't getting nothing. I'm going to tell you, those young people can be coloring. They can be under the table. They can be talking, and they still hear what you say. When I was young and was such an angel. but once in a while, I'd have a little devil in me, and I'd be playing around and up under the benches and everything. And Mama said this about me, and I don't know why. But she said, if I ever had to take him out once with a switch, I just left the switch at the door because there's going to be another trip. Amen. She said it's the way it was. Now, of course, I know we don't do that today. That's not politically correct, but it got my attention. But we would ride home from church. We'd ride home from church, and Daddy would ask me what he preached on. And Mama would say, he don't know. I'm telling you, he don't know that. He was terrible today. He was up under the benches. He was crawling all around. I can remember Mama saying that about me. I was just 12 years old. And I remember Mama saying that, man. And you know what? And I would surprise her. I can tell you what Daddy preached on. One reason I knew that Zaquia is usually going home, so I tried to pay attention to something. Amen. I may look dumb, but I'm not that dumb. And so, but I could tell. You never know what they're getting. So don't get discouraged. Teachers, don't get discouraged. You're planting the seed. You're planting an eternal seed that can bring forth fruit for everlasting. Amen. But there's a gang of young people that's not getting what you got when you growed up. They're not in the house of God no more. They're not getting the truths of the Word of God. And they're ignorant to biblical truth. And so when they become ignorant to biblical truths, you know what it makes them? It makes them become ignorant to moral righteousness. It makes them become ignorant to authority. Accountability. Responsibilities. Amen. And we are seeing that in our society today because why? They don't have that biblical truth. We've took Bible and we've took prayer out of the schools. We've took it not just out of the schools, we've took it out of our own homes. Biblical illiteracy. An ignorance of the Word of God. And then here's the third thing. As a watchman, that I feel like that I need to tell the church, Philadelphia Baptist Church, not just about diluted faith and about biblical ignorance, see, how ignorant we can be of the Word of God. But you know what? We're losing in this thing of just having people that's just honest. Just being honest. It's sad we're living in a day where you just can't hardly believe anybody. We was living in Tennessee, and I had some rental property, and I needed a stove. And some other things. I was redoing a house, and I needed to get some things. And I went to Chattanooga to get them. And I took some money with me, but I didn't take enough money. And so I bought some stuff that was a little bit better, a little bit higher than I thought it would. I think it was in better condition. And I went to some places and bought. And so I spent the little bit of money I had. Then I went to the ATM thing and got out, I think it was at that time, $300 you could get out in a day. And I'd got that out and I'd spent it. And so really, I just had a few more things I needed to buy, and I stopped at a pawn shop. And sure enough, inside that pawn shop, I believe it what it was, I was looking for was the electric stove, and they had a really nice electric stove. It was just $175, and I thought it was a great deal. It was a really nice stove, flat top, different thing. And I thought, man, this is years ago now. And it was a really nice stove. And this guy said, I'm giving you a real good deal on it. But my problem was I didn't have $175. I couldn't go to ATM and get any out. And so I asked if I could write a check, and he just laughed. And then I told him this, but I'm a preacher, and he really laughed. Amen. I realized right then, and I said, well, because I was afraid this thing might get away, I said, I have some people that's a member of my church that lives here in Chattanooga. And so I just called them. I said, can I borrow $175? They said, yeah. And so I went and got $175 and went and bought the thing and got it. And so, but what I'm trying to say is, when I mentioned being a preacher, that didn't help a thing. Matter of fact, that put me in a bad category. So they're dishonest preachers. Amen. Before y'all get so excited about these dishonest preachers, there's dishonest church members too. May the Lord help us to have some honesty. I believe it would be real good if we'd be honest about where we really are with God. If we would just really take inventory, and hey, we'd be really honest where we really are in our marriage. How we're really where we are as a family, how we really are spiritually as a family. Oh, it looks good. I mean, you put your right guard, left guard on, put on your nice clothes. That's wonderful. But how are we at home? The great. I say this now. I know it's pinning things up here to me. But the greatest compliment I got is I heard Aaron talking to some men. And he said this. He said, "I thank God for my daddy. Because daddy was what he was in the pulpit. He was at home too." Greatest compliment Brother Carver I could ever have. Yeah. Ever have. And now, only thing I know is I know what kind of daddy I am at home. And I know he had some forgiveness. And you know yours will too if they say the same thing. Amen. Let's just be honest. Let's be honest this morning. Are we really who everybody else thinks we are? Now, I'm going to shock somebody. I'm going to be very transparent here. Sometimes I wish I was the person that some people thinks I am. And Brother Trevor, I strive to be that. I do. I strive to be that. But you know what I find? I find myself failing. Because you know what I find I am, Brother Jeff? I'm human. I'm human just like you're human. And I fail. But I believe if we would just get a real good dose of honesty and we would fall on our faces more before God and humble ourselves before God and draw nigh to God, we could find ourselves being that person, being a better person or being closer to that person than some people thinks we are. Amen. I know it's not much preaching, but it's truth. Hey, I'm just trying to be a watchman this morning. Moms, dads, young people, deacons, teachers, laymen, what kind of watchman are you? Then there's one other thing, and I'll finish with this. Now, I've got other things, the watchman we need for help, some things, I might mention some of them if I have time, but here's the last one that I thought of as the church, as being a watchman. I need to watch out about that, our faith as a church. We need to have faith. We need to continue to grow in that faith. Hey, we need to make sure that we're teaching the whole counsel of God. You have all kinds of chances to learn the Word of God here. You have Sunday school. You have Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. We have King's Kids that teach that. We have a track club that teaches the Bible. And then also we have a Bible college. You can come just take one course. I mean, just come take one course. We have 32 in the Bible college this year. And I tell you, one course will help you. I had a gentleman stay Thursday night after the service. Just want to, after the he talked to me about 10 o'clock that night, and he said, "You will." He's from another church. He said, "You will never know, preacher, how much this is our fourth lesson. How much I've learned." And he's an older gentleman. He said, "How much I've learned about the Word of God in just 4 weeks." He said, "I'm amazed." He's taken Old Testament survey, defense of the King James. Great men of the Bible and biblical interpretations. He's taken a full load. And he said, "You will not believe what I've learned about the Bible." We don't want to be biblically illiterate. Then this honesty, and then this last one. I believe as a pastor, as a watchman, son of man, I have made thee a watchman. I believe we need to watch about the direction of the church, Philadelphia Baptist Church. We need to watch about a direction. Every church has got a direction it's going. Yeah. So I'll just, first of all, you know, a lot of churches, they need to decide what direction they're going, what Bible they're going to use. They used to not be a state. I mean, you didn't even think about when you went in the house of God wondering what Bible somebody's going to be using, but not today. So Philadelphia Baptist Church is your watchman. I'm trying to warn you, don't get away from this King James Bible. You do yourself great harm and your family and this church great harm if you get away from the King James Bible. This morning, if I hope you don't do this, but this morning if you did look at your TV and this time, if this morning you went to other churches and other places, even in our county, you would not know. One Sunday he might read from this version, another Sunday might read from another version. I remember a preacher that was preaching and people really was liking him that was preaching on the TV, and then he went to what they call the Messenger Bible. It's just a storybook. What is it? It reads in a story form. Amen. It's not a Bible. Mm-mm. And so the directions of the church, how the churches are going. Hey, watchman, cry out now. Do you see these things? I'm warning the church now about your scriptures. Which way you go? What direction? Well, as far as Lord willing, if the Lord allows me to stay the watchman of Philadelphia Baptist Church, and we're ending 16 years in December and starting our 17th year, if the Lord lets us live long enough, then we're going to stay with the King James Bible. Amen. Another thing about the church direction is the songs it sings. Not only the scriptures it used, but the songs it sings. You know what? We're just going to stay with these hymns. Now, I know we sing several different styles of songs. Some sing Southern gospel. So we sing some new songs. You can call them temporary songs. But those songs that we sing, we don't want them 7-11. You know what a 7-11 song is, on it? It's seven words sung 11 times. And it's repeated every time. We're not going to get into singing those songs. We're not going to get all these feel-good songs. We're not going to get into Jesus, he's the way. We're not going to get into this rapping thing. Hey, there would be those that would be entertained by those things. There would be those that would have no problem. And that'll make you a bad person. But we're not headed that way. We're not headed that direction. We're not even looking that way. Amen. Watchmen. The direction of the church. What kind of sanctuary are you going to have? Are we going to change the lights and dim them down, paint the walls black? Amen. What kind of sanctuary are you going to have? What kind of service, style of worship are you going to have? Well, right now we're having our traditional service. Y'all come back at 2 and we'll have our contemporary service. Just show up. There'll be no service. Amen. What kind of service are you going to have? Now, I found this in pastoring. You never can please 100% of the people 100% of the time. Amen. You can't do it. You can't please everybody. And the world and people wants different things. But hey, watchmen, as a watchman of Philadelphia Baptist Church, we're not headed that way. You can call it tradition, you can call it old-fashioned, you can call it what you want to. But what we're going to do in here, we're going to come in here and we're going to sing and we're going to praise the Lord and we're going to shout and we're going to let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us, and we're going to try to tell sinners that they need to be saved, and saints, they need to get right, and we're going to try to exhort the brethren, we're going to try to encourage the brethren, we're going to try to be that kind of church. That's the kind of worship we want.
Amen.
Amen. It's so funny, Brother Ricky Burnett. He kept on saying, when he was at the Rock of Ages, he kept on saying who he was to me when he would walk by. He said, "I'm Ricky Burnett, and I'm with Rock of Ages." And he would say that every time. Many of y'all know Brother Ricky, and he's just joking. And he would say that every time. Of course, he comes to our Bible college. I've known Brother Ricky Burnett for a long time. Anyway, so I started saying this. I'm Tim McCulley. I'm the praise and worship leader at Philadelphia Baptist Church. Every time he'd say it, I'd say the same thing back to him. He finally got tired of saying it because I was getting tired of it. What kind of style? What kind of standard are we going to keep at the church? And what kind of standard are we going to keep at the church? Is it going to be this, just come as you are and leave as you came? What kind of standard are we going to come? Why are we going to try to keep a standard where men look like men and ladies look like ladies? Amen. Are we going to try to keep a standard? It's going to be your decision. We're not a law. We don't lay down a law about it. Amen. We have a guideline about modesty. We believe it needs to be high, covered up here, at least to the knees, the thighs covered. I'll be back and prove in the Bible that thighs is nakedness. Yeah. Amen. So if you're covered for that, you're covered. Amen. It's all right, church. It's all right. Amen. I'm not saying what you need to wear outside. I'm just saying that this is a church. As a watchman, what are we going to be? What direction are we going to go? And be honest with you, the church is going to have to decide. You decide what you are. You decide what kind of music you are. You decide what kind of Bible you use. You decide that. Hey, we can't lay down. We're not governing you where you go and what you're doing. You freely came here this morning. I trust you enjoy the services. I trust you enjoy what Philadelphia has to offer in preaching the Word of God. And I trust that. But I'm just telling you, in the society that we're living, some things that the watchman needs to watch for. These are some things that we need to watch for. My time's almost gone, but the watchman and the need for the watchman. Why do we need a watchman? Well, the devil wants to seek and destroy. He wants to seek and devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And then Paul said there's grievous wolves. In Acts chapter 20, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves send in among you, and spare not the flock. That's why you have to have a watchman. Yes. Dads, that's why you need to be a watchman. Mom, that's why you need to be a watchman of your home. Why? Because wolves are wanting to come in. I see people wanting to destroy. Hey, the devil would know. He'd love to destroy Philadelphia Baptist Church. And if you don't watch it, he can make you get mad at the preacher for what I'm preaching this morning. And all I've preached to you this morning is the Word of God. The watchman in his work, he's exposed error. He's exposed ungodliness. He's exposed sin. He's to rebuke sin. 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. He's to preach the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:27, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I hope, Brother Hub, that when I stand before heaven, before the Lord in heaven, that I can say I preached the whole counsel of God. That I preached the whole counsel of God. Boy, I cannot say this other one. I could not be free from the blood of all men. There's some people, Brother Ryan, there's some people's blood that are going to be on my hands. There's some people's blood that's going to be on my hand. I very rarely tell this story. Probably I've told it probably less than five times the whole time I've been here at this church. But as a young man growing up, I got away from the Lord my senior year in high school. My senior year in high school, there was a young man by the name of Robert that played on the football team for the football season, and he quit school. He'd sit down in town, and sometimes I would stop, and we cruised town during that time, and we'd cruise town, and people would stop at different gas stations, different places in Andrews, North Carolina. We'd be little early as you could stop. And nobody minds you sitting there, and so you just, people will just gather. And I've stopped many times beside Robert. I've stopped on Sunday night after I get out of church, Brother Derek, and go after church. It's just a routine thing after church. I'd go downtown, get something to drink or something, and cruise town for an hour or two, and then go back home and go to bed. I'm not proud of that, but that's what we've done. And I pulled many times beside Robert Luther's car and sat there and talked to him. I'd just been to church. One day I went to Alabama. Was coming back in on a Saturday. I believe it was a Saturday about lunchtime, about noontime. I come to the, there were only three red lights in Andrews. I come to the very first red light, and there was a cop car sitting there blocking the traffic and telling, making everybody go left or right. I could see a fire engine in the middle of town right there in the second red light. And all kinds of people gathered around. I made my way around back, pulled up at an old grocery store there, and got out. When I got out, a young lady went by me just screaming and crying. I knew exactly who it was. It was Robert Luther's girlfriend. I walked on down, seen Russell and seen Joe and Matt. And I said, "What's going on?" Russell said, "You haven't heard?" And I said, "No." He said, "Walk right around here." And I walked right around, right at the red light in the center of Andrews, North Carolina. And there was the biggest puddle of blood right in the center of that, right on the road, Main Street, that I'd never seen in my life. Perry Hogan was stepping off of the fire truck and took a hose and began to wash that blood. And I was standing right at the drain. And that red water and blood started running. And God smote my heart and said, "You'll see that blood again, son." That was a start of God once again really dealing in my heart. And it wasn't very long after that that I announced my calling to preach and I gave my heart to God completely and submitted myself to do God's will. And that was one of the things that God used to get my attention. So I went to school with him. I'd sat time after time and talked to him about different things. But Brother Trevor, I never had invited him to church. I never had told him about Jesus. I never had told him he needed to be saved. And told him about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Stringer, that blood will be on my hands one day. I wish I could say he's the only one. But even in pastoring, I've got an inkling, a nudge. You need to go by and see so-and-so. And I wouldn't go by and see him. And in a week, 2 weeks, less than a month later, I'm at their funeral. I believe their blood will be up on my hand. I believe some of you sitting here have bloody hands. And I cannot, Brother Jeff, I can't get that blood off. It's too late. But I can try my best between now and the day I die to keep that blood off my hand. Watchmen? What kind of watchmen are we? I believe to some here this morning, I'll be like a dad that's telling his children what they need to be, and they don't understand it, Brother Johnny, because they've not come to the years. The age of understanding. But Brother Johnny, when they get older, them kids are going to start coming back. Just like I went back to my daddy and mama. I said, "Mom and Dad, thank you. Thank you for raising me right. Thank you for keeping me in church. Thank you for having a curfew." Oh, y'all didn't get that, did you? Thank you for having a curfew. You know what a curfew means? It means that Mom and Dad cares. Young people sitting here, some say, just like this message, some would sit here and say, "I don't understand the pastor. I don't understand why he's taking that stand." But there'll be some years as you're going down the road in your walk with the Lord, and you look back, you're going to understand. You're going to understand there has to be a defining moment where somebody's got to say, "Hey, the buck stops here." Because if you don't, you'll just go way down the road, way too far. And sin will keep you longer than you want to. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you want to pay. Sure will. Watchmen? What kind of watchmen are we? What kind of watchmen are we? This morning, what kind of watchmen are you? Dad? Mom? What kind of watchman? We're standing, our heads are bowed.